This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The accusation of anti-Semitism is more and more frequently made, often is called new anti-Semitism. But is new anti-Semitism the same as the old anti-Semitism, or are they different? Michael Kiefer has written a book that wrestles with these questions. The book is titled Anti-Semitism, Real and Imagined. He argues that the distinction is not in the least esoteric. Indeed, the distinction is at the heart of a struggle to maintain freedom of speech on the Palestine-Israel controversy. Michael Kiefer is a professor in the Department of English and Theater at Guelph University. He's an expert in Renaissance literature. He is past president of the Association of Canadian College and University Teachers of English. Michael Kiefer is going to begin a tour of BC in Western Canada. He'll begin that tour in Vancouver on Thursday, the 23rd of September, but we've reached him in Toronto before he sets off. Welcome, Michael, to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you very much, Mordecai.
You document in your book a history of real anti-Semitism in Canada. What do you mean? What kind of things are you pointing to about that are real anti-Semitism?
Well, I think it's really urgent that people thinking about these issues know something of the history in this country, and it is to a considerable degree a very shameful history. The Jewish communities in the late 18th century in Quebec established themselves in cities like Trois-Rivières, Montreal. There were Jewish communities in a thriving Jewish community in Toronto in the late 19th century, which was evidenced by historians like Stephen Spiesman. They were interestingly integrated with the Anglo community. People were in social contact with each other. In the early 20th century, however, we get a really toxic importation of anti-Semitic attitudes that coincides with a significant immigration of Jews from Eastern Europe. And these are people who are less economically well off, and one begins then in the 1920s, or even a little before, to see signs of a really nasty anti-Semitic attitude that appears in the media. It's part of general public discourse. One has exclusionary behavior. Beaches closed to Jews. In the early 1930s, there were very serious anti-Semitic incidents in Toronto. In later in the 1930s, there was a synagogue burned in just outside Montreal. This kind of really serious stuff. Coupled with that, Canada's restrictions on refugee immigration in the 1930s were disgraceful. Canada took about one-fifth as many Jewish refugees from Nazi-controlled Europe as did the other English-speaking countries. About a fifth as many per capita, as did Australia or the United States or the United Kingdom. And that history, I think, is something that we need to know about, we need to remember, while at the same time recognizing that although this toxic prejudice continued to have some institutional power right up into the 1960s, it has been dissipated, thank goodness. People used to say things that would now be regarded with disgust by most Canadians, and indeed we have hate crime legislation that ensures that people don't get away with the kinds of appalling behavior that were all too frequent earlier on.
But you still see today in the media organizations like the B'nai B'rith or the Canadian Jewish Council or even members of parliament like Erwin Kotler and Jason Kenney talking about Jewish hatred, anti-Jewish bigotry being at a peak that hasn't been seen since the 1930s in Nazi Germany. What is your response to that accusation or description of the current situation?
Well, when people go so far as to make that statement, and I think you quoted accurately from what has been said by at least a couple of people, including Jason Kenney, Minister of Immigration, Multiculturalism, and Citizenship, that seems to me to come perilously close to denial of the Shoah, Holocaust denial, and it is in a very basic sense scaremongering, because there remains a problem of anti-Semitism in Canada. One shouldn't in any way be dismissive of that fact. Jews continue to be disproportionately singled out by hate mongers, by people who want to deface cemeteries or synagogues or simply write appalling graffiti, or indeed people who engage in worse activities, assaults and so on. But the level of such behavior, and there's good evidence on this, the level of such behavior has been declining, and the kinds of attitudes, the public attitudes that in the past supported behavior of that kind, have also been changing. There's pretty good evidence that that statements like the ones you quoted are simply and directly not true.
Now, there's been an effort to sustain those statements, nonetheless, by qualifying the current situation as new anti-Semitism. And I'm wondering if you can tell us, when did this idea of new anti-Semitism come into vogue, this qualifying adjective?
Well, the interesting thing about it is that it's not new, and it's not really anti-Semitism. It's not about anti-Semitism. The term came into use in the early 1970s. Interestingly enough, in a period when real anti-Semitism was in rapid decline, but when, following the 1973 war, the State of Israel was under considerable diplomatic pressure internationally to retreat from the territories that had been occupied following the 1967 war. And leading figures in the Anti-Defamation League in the United States published a book about claiming that this new anti-Semitism is a threat. It's quite clear that what they were trying to do was to redefine anti-Semitism to incorporate criticism of the State of Israel, and to use that as a way of providing public support in the United States and elsewhere for the posture of those people within Israel who wanted at all costs to hold on to the conquered territories, the occupied territories. And the claims about new anti-Semitism are based on the notion that whereas traditional anti-Semitism was based on an exclusion of Jews from normal civic life, setting them apart, marking them as other, as unassimilable, as dangerous, as all the claptrap, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, all the blood libel, those are the traditional tropes of anti-Semitism, which are appalling. Now, what I find appalling about the rhetoric of the new anti-Semitism is that it seems to me to be making use of this history of suffering, a history of suffering, a history of martyrdom, in a way that is at the service of unacceptable political positions. In other words, to claim that people who protest against let's say, an action by the Israeli Defense Force that is quite clearly a violation of international law, that amounts to a war crime, that involves the deaths of innocent civilians and so on. For people to defend that by saying the human rights group that draws attention to that is engaging in a new anti-Semitism, this is a blood libel against the collectivity of people who make up, who are citizens of, and or who support the State of Israel. That seems to me to be a very serious distortion of, I mean, first, it's a way of doing away with the actual reality of who has suffered, who has died, what are the material facts. It replaces this with a rhetorical claim that people who are engaging in human rights activism in relation to episodes of that kind cannot be given credit for a genuine interest in human decency. In fact, they are really vile anti-Semites who are cleverly, in a sophisticated way, that's one of Erwin Kotler's favorite words, this is a sophisticated new anti-Semitism. They're disguising their ancient hatred by pretending to be defenders of human rights and so on. Now, that to me is pretty grotesque.
You mentioned Erwin Kotler and Jason Kenney. I did too, and they are part of a grouping of members of parliament in Ottawa who call themselves the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, and they use the acronym CPCCA. What's the history of the formation of that group? How did the CPCCA come into existence?
Well, it came into existence a little over a year ago when a group of Canadian parliamentarians led by Kenney and Kotler traveled to London, England to take part in an international assembly of parliamentarians who'd come together to combat anti-Semitism. They came away from that meeting with the idea of setting up a parliamentary inquiry, as some British parliamentarians had done in 2006. The interesting thing about this, the one interesting thing, is that it emerged toward the end of last year that the London group was actually organized by none other than ex-Canadian Minister of Justice Erwin Kotler. He in fact, this is a project that he's been working on since at least 2002, initially in collaboration with the Israeli Foreign Ministry. The sort of first iteration of this project fell through because groups like the Anti-Defamation League in the United States says it has Israel's fingerprints too obviously all over it. We don't support that. Be more subtle. Be clever. He was able to establish this, to get it launched last year. The CPCCA, then, is a group that has explicitly adopted this rhetoric of the new anti-Semitism. It's adopted claims about the resurgence of anti-Semitism that, if one's talking about a real anti-Semitism, are demonstrably false. If one's talking about an increasing groundswell of international opposition to the behavior of the State of Israel in relation to the people of the occupied Palestinian territories, well, yes, of course that's happening. But it's based upon a kind of shell game, and their intention seems clearly to activate Canadian public opinion to bring people, in part perhaps through fear, you know, fear that if you object to this, you will be labeled an anti-Semite, or if you're Jewish, you'll be labeled a self-hating Jew. To activate Canadian public opinion in support of this completely illegitimate equation of anti-Semitism or identification of criticism of the State of Israel as anti-Semitism, And to alter the orientation of, for example, our police forces when they're enforcing our hate crime laws, to alter the ways in which courts might look at this issue. Possibly their intention might even extend as far as making changes in the Canadian Criminal Code, although that's, of course, speculation.
Is there evidence anywhere that criticism of Israel has been criminalized? Are there other countries where even that speculation has actually come to reality?
Yes, actually, at this very moment, in France, which, to its credit, has taken very stern state action against hate crimes of many kinds, of all kinds. In France at this moment, activists who are guilty of nothing more than distributing pamphlets advocating boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the state of Israel on account of its behavior, its violations of international law, in its treatment of the Palestinians of the occupied territories. Now, these people, I've read the documents they distributed. They're very careful to make explicit that what they're objecting to is the behavior of a state. They are in no way they express their direct opposition to anti-Semitism, to racisms of all kind. Now, these people then are being, and of course there's an outcry in France because this is a mockery of what hate crime legislation is there for. These people are being dragged before a court to answer charges of dissemination of hatred. So I think it is, that's one example. I think it is a very real threat in this country as well.
The CPCCA, when it first made itself public, promised that it would reveal its source of financing. It never has. But this month, Jason Kennedy, the Minister of Immigration, Multiculturalism, and a key member of the CPCCA, provided over $450,000 of public funds for an international conference of like-minded parliamentarians to those in the CPCCA. What can you tell us about this upcoming conference?
The conference is scheduled for November 7th to November 9th. It'll be held in Ottawa, and people will be put up at Ottawa's best hotel, the Chateau Laurier. CPCCA apparently intends to release its report at about the same time. I have a feeling that they've been sitting on their report because they're concerned about the kind of public criticism that is beginning to emerge from human rights groups in Canada, Independent Jewish Voices, the Seriously Free Speech Committee, and many others, Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, for example, of the behavior of this parliamentary coalition. I mean, it's peculiar to have Parliament's normal procedure is to say we as a Parliament identify a problem, we set up a parliamentary commission of inquiry to examine this problem, we establish the framework, the terms of reference for that commission, and the inquiry will then report back to Parliament. That's something that in the Canadian democratic system is done by Parliament as a whole. Now, this is simply a group of parliamentarians who, many of whom, no doubt, are impelled by the thought that this is an important issue and it's one that ought to be dealt with, so let's go and do a good thing. It doesn't have that framework, and interestingly enough, one of the parties that initially was a participant in the CPCCA withdrew. The Bloc Québécois said the manner in which they are conducting their inquiry is so obviously imbalanced that we will not any longer have anything to do with this, which I think was a good decision.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, Michael, and we look forward to your visit to Vancouver and Vancouver Island as well in later in September. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Mordecai.
I've been speaking with Michael Kiefer. He's professor in the Department of English and Theatre at Guelph University, an expert in Renaissance literature. Professor Kiefer is a past president of the Association of Canadian College and University Teachers of English, and as we mentioned before, he's author of the new book, Antisemitism, Real and Imagined. He's going to begin his speaking tour in Vancouver on Thursday evening, September 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at Simon Fraser University downtown campus at 515 West Hastings. He'll also be speaking at that forum with Michael Vaughan, and she is policy director of the BC Civil Liberties Association. After the Vancouver meetings, Michael Kiefer will be going to Victoria on the 24th of September, Nanaimo, and Courtney. If you want more information on the dates and times and places of the various meetings, go to the website Seriously Free Speech, all one word, seriouslyfreespeech.wordpress.com.